Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Health with Dr. Mike. And this is a pre-recorded call. So that's why it's the way it is. And we have a great subject tonight that I think you're going to thoroughly enjoy and find helpful. But before we get into that, I need to bring up a subject that comes up over and over and over again from many, many callers. I'm a naturopath, and as a naturopath, basically, I work on the premise, and I've been trained with the idea that this goes back over 3,000 years from ancient India, Ayurvedic medicine, Hippocrates, that the body is self-healing, and that the body will actually correct just about anything that is wrong if we simply give it the right tools to work with, and if we follow natural law. Now, it's not a big secret to realize, just by looking at the world today, that very few people in the world are following natural law. Most of us don't even know what it is. Okay, so that's part of the challenge, to say the least. But the more we can tune in with natural forces and allowing our body to heal itself, and obviously to cease doing those things that cause the body known problems. You know, obviously most of us at this point know that eating a lot of refined processed food is not helpful. Most people know that drinking huge quantities of alcohol or pop or coffee are not good for the body. Most people recognize, even if they can't do much about it, that stress is a huge factor and a gigantic killer. In fact, stress is more of a killer in today's world than even eating junk food. It's that much of an epidemic. So I think most people are aware of that. But the point of this is that naturopathic medicine always works from a premise of the self-healing properties of the body. And that's really excellent if you really think about it. I mean, it's phenomenal that the body has been endowed with a self-correcting mechanism. In fact, if you give it any thought at all, you're in awe. I mean, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal is the only way to look at it. So anyhow, the reason why I'm bringing this up before I get into the main subject is that I get a lot of phone calls and especially a lot of emails that will tell me lists, often, of drugs their customers are taking, who are like doing the transformation, and wanting to know if it's okay if they keep taking the drugs or if they're going to interfere and can they stop these and so on and so forth. Now, I am perfectly happy and able to talk about drugs in terms of their toxicity, which is available to all of you. In other words, the PDR is available to anyone who looks at it. And the side effects are clearly listed. And most of the side effects are pretty nasty, to say the least. So, with that being said, I'm more than happy to help sort of interpret why a drug might be taken and which drugs you can live without and which drugs you possibly can't live without. However, and the however is big, any attempt to stop taking a drug that has been prescribed by a medical doctor, either the person themselves, because it's their body, they can decide if they want to take a drug or not. And I'm happy to at least give them some ideas about it. But ultimately, it's up to them if they want to take the drug or not, and if they don't feel comfortable making that decision, they need to confer with their medical doctor. because as a naturopath and as a PHP member, neither one of us can tell someone to stop taking a drug. It's actually against the law. Whether it's ethical or not is another matter. But, you know, we obviously we all want to stay within the legal parameters of what's allowed us. So I just wanted to really get that out clearly because I get this question over and over and over again, and people are always asking me, is it okay if someone stops taking a medicine? And like I said, they can make that decision on their own if they want to ask me what I think is the, you know, in other words, is the medicine crucial? I can give an opinion, but I can't tell someone if they should stop taking it or not. Only they and their doctor can make that decision. But I do encourage people, if they are going to be taking drugs, and this is something you can encourage all of your customers who say that they're taking a drug, encourage them to please read all of the fine print of the side effects so they know exactly what they are putting in their body and what the ramifications of that product can be. Because ultimately it is their body. And it should be noted that many doctors will not take most of the drugs they prescribe other people to take because they know how toxic they are. And that's a known fact. So, you know, you have a lot of things that you can say to people, but you and I cannot tell someone to stop taking a drug. Okay, only they can do that. Now, with that out of the way, we are going to have a great little topic that's called breathing and your brain. And I would like to further this along and say breathing for your brain, health, and weight management. And this was written by a David DeSalvo, who's a science and technology journalist, and he contributes to Psychology Today, Scientific American, Forbes, Mental Floss, and he's got several books out, What Makes Your Brain Happy and Why You Should Do the Opposite and the forthcoming Brain Changer. And I think you'll find this very helpful. I'm going to read part of this and then make some comments. He starts off, the advice to just breathe when you're stressed may be a cliche of Godzilla-sized proportions, but that doesn't make it untrue. The substance behind the saying is research-tested, and not only to manage stress. Breathing is an unusual bodily function in that it is both involuntary and voluntary. Other major functions, like digestion, blood flow, these occur without conscious influence, and for the most part, we could not influence them even if we wanted to. They are totally involuntarily managed in a incredible processing system of the unconscious mind. But breathing is also managed in the unconscious, but at any moment, and this is the interesting part, at any moment we can grab at the controls and consciously change how we breathe. We can make breathing shallow or deep, fast or slow, or we can choose to stop breathing altogether until we pass out and the unconscious takes over again. You can't kill yourself by holding your breath. Since we are breathing all the time, the oddness of this dual control system doesn't usually dawn on us, but it's this control flexibility that makes breathing especially worthy of attention. We can change how we breathe, and to an extent, change how breathing affects our bodies. Controlled breathing in the form of paced respiration, diaphragmatic breathing, cyclical breathing, deep breathing, and so on, has long been a feature of Eastern health and medicine for centuries, for thousands of years. It became more visible in the West after Dr. Herbert Benson's book that was written in the mid-70s called The Relaxation Response. And I remember reading that book, and it was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. The basic mechanics of controlled breathing differ a bit depending on who is describing them, but they usually include three parts. First part, inhaling deeply through the nose for a count of 10 or so, making sure that the abdomen expands. That's called diaphragmatic breathing. 2, holding the breath, and then 3, exhaling completely through the mouth. Now, the most effective form of this, which some people call cyclical or rhythm-built breathing, is you inhale through the nose and count 1 to 5, 1 to 10, 1 to 15, whatever's comfortable, and then hold your breath for exactly the same count, and then exhale through the mouth through the same count. And you can do this anywhere between 6, 12, 15, 20 times. You can do it walking slowly, like on the beach or in a nice natural area. And I'll tell you a great story that shows you how powerful this is. A friend of mine who is what you call intense, he is very hypercritical, especially of himself, and he's tough to get along with. But he's very smart. And he can be very, very moody and often gets himself depressed. So he's talking to somebody who is actually a counselor of his, and the counselor suggested that he do an exercise. He said, why don't you go out and walk around a big field, which he pointed to. He says, and while you're doing that, do this cycle breathing. And he described what it was. And he said, come back after you've done this about 20 times or so. And so the guy, you know, left in a huff, said, you know, this guy doesn't have a clue, he doesn't realize, you know, the kind of problems I have, and blah, blah, blah. But he said, oh, I'm going to do this. So he did it. Before he even made halfway around the field, he noticed his whole consciousness and demeanor had changed dramatically. In fact, he didn't even remember being depressed. Now, when he told me that, it got my attention. Because a lot of times, if you notice, when you're irritated or upset or angry, your breathing is not rhythmic. Your breathing is very sporadic, and it's like almost irregular and very short. And when you have a short, quick breath, you cannot be calm. It's impossible. Now, Bill Herbert Benson argued that controlling breathing in this way of doing cyclical breathing triggers what's called the parasympathetic nervous system to come online and counter our sympathetic nervous system's fight or flight response to daily stress. In effect, the relaxation response is the anti-fight-or-flight response. Subsequent research has backed up and expanded Benson's argument. Now, what follows are 5 science-based reasons for paying more attention to an ability most of us aren't maximizing or even aware of. First one is managing stress. This is the most direct application of controlled breathing and the one we hear about most. Our brains are routinely on high alert for threats in our environment. We're wired to react defensively to anything that hints of imperiling us physically or psychologically, which can include the computer crashing, can include someone saying something to you that you weren't prepared that they were going to say, can be as goofy as a red light getting stuck and you have to get someplace. Controlled breathing may be the most potent tool we have to prevent our brains from keeping us in a state of stress and preventing subsequent damage caused by high stress levels. The relaxation response is a built-in way to keep stress in check. The next section, managing anxiety. The means by which controlled breathing triggers the parasympathetic nervous system is linked to stimulation of what's called the vagus nerve. It's a nerve running from the base of the brain all the way to your abdomen. It goes all the way to the groin, responsible for mediating nervous system responses and lowering heart rate, among other things. The vagus nerve releases a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine. I'm sure some of you have heard of that. People try and take that as a supplement. that catalyzes increased focus and calmness. A direct benefit of more acetylcholine is a decrease in feelings of anxiety. Stimulating the vagus nerve may also play a part in treating depression, even in people who are resistant to antidepressant medications. Pretty amazing, huh? Lowering blood pressure and heart rate. Now, this one is really important because it is incredible how many people I talk to and get emails from who are on high blood pressure medicine, cholesterol medicine, medicine for the triglycerides, I mean, you name it. And like I said, most heart doctors will not take any of this stuff. Research suggests that when practiced consistently, controlled breathing will result in lower blood pressure and heart rate, which in turn results in less wear and tear on blood vessels. As described above, the vagus nerve plays a key role in this response. Over time, using controlled breathing to lower blood pressure and heart rate can help prevent stroke and lower risk of cerebral aneurysm. This is big, folks. And we're just talking about something that we do every single day. And all this man is doing is saying, if you spend some time every day taking the reins of your breathing and controlling it for a specific purpose, you can reap tremendous health benefits. This is big. This is really, really big. The next major function is sparking brain growth. I'm sure most of us would like to have a bigger brain or a more usable brain. One of the more intriguing research developments involving controlled breathing is that when it's used to facilitate meditation, the result can be an actual increase in brain size. Specifically, the brain experiences growth in areas associated with attention and processing of sensory input. The effect seems to be more noticeable in older people, which is especially good news because it's the reverse of what typically happens as we age. Gray matter usually becomes thinner. The result is consistent with other research showing an increase in thickness of music areas of the brain in musicians and visual motor areas in the brains of jugglers. As in those cases, the key is consistent practice over time. And I want to stress this as an idea. The key is consistent practice over time. This applies to learning how to do regulated breathing. This applies to beginning a sensible exercise regime. This applies to changing our eating habits and lifestyle patterns, because so many times we are given the information in our society that you can have this now. You don't have to work for it. It's instant. It's really a shame that we are forced to advertise the transformation as the quickest weight loss program. But it is marketing. I'll be the first to admit it. It's just plain downright marketing. But the reality is, unless someone is committed to changing their lifestyle and their behavior, it won't last. It won't last any quicker than people who used to take Metrical 30 years ago or any of these other, you know, diet programs. But the transformation is a wonderful program simply because it gives the opportunity to break food addictions and to really change the way we interact with food and the way we interact with life. Now, the last area of change that this man describes is changing gene expression. And we're not talking about blue genes here. Another unexpected research finding is that controlled breathing can alter the expression of genes involved in immune function, energy metabolism, and insulin secretion. Think about that. The study uncovering this finding was co-authored by none other than Herbert Benson himself, some 40 years after he brought controlled breathing into the spotlight with his book. Now, check this out, folks. If doing controlled breathing can actually help our immune function, our energy metabolism, and insulin secretion, just looking at energy metabolism and insulin secretion, what that says to us is that controlled breathing has a definite marked impact on weight loss and weight management. And the reason for this is, and I've said this before, but this sort of gives the nuts and bolts theory behind it, which appeals to some people. Stress is a huge deterrent to weight loss, because when we are under stress, we're constricting our cells and our metabolism is slowing down and being inhibited, which means that we can be shoving really good superfoods into our mouth, but if we do it when we're in this state of being, the ability of that those nutrients to become assimilated on a cellular level goes down significantly. I mean significantly, like as much as 90%. So you're really no better off than the obese person who's eating junk food full of empty calories. I mean, you're better off, but only by a little bit, because the person eating the junk food is also not absorbing any nutrients, because there's no nutrients in that food to absorb. And they're even consuming more of the excess calories that will become more fat than they will for you. But the reality is that no matter what you are eating, if you're eating it under a stressful time and your body is under stress, the likelihood is you will produce fat cells at that moment, because the body can't absorb the nutrients and it still needs some nutrients, and so it goes into a store mode. And the way it goes into a store mode is through fat. And if you don't have enough fat at that moment, it's going to make some fat cells. That's why this process of regulated breathing during the day, even if you do this cyclical breathing anywhere from 3 to 4 times a day, and especially if you do it while you're taking a walk or while you're just sitting relaxing, and do yourself a favor. Don't watch television. You know, don't even listen to the news on the radio. If you want to find out what's going on, the headlines are on the internet. You can find all the headlines. And the television and the radio news is only designed to get you addicted enough to it so you'll listen long enough to hear their goofy commercials. It has nothing to do with giving you facts. It's sensationalism, and it always has been. This isn't new, but it's worse than it used to be, because when I was a kid, There was world news for 15 minutes and then it became 30 minutes. Now we have news 24/7. So in other words, we can't escape it. Before, you know, you only had to tolerate it for, you know, half an hour. That ain't no more. Of course, I guess the networks still have half hour, you know, national or international news. But the point is that no matter which news thing you're watching, you're still listening to something that is economically driven. It is not there to give you facts. It's there to sell you the goods that are being advertised. And it's important to know that, because most of this stuff will cause people to get excited, mad, irritated, you know, feeling unrest, whatever. And that is not good for our nervous systems. Certainly not good for our metabolism. Certainly not good for our brains, and definitely not good for our heart. So, in other words, this is powerful medicine that you can administer any time you want. And that's pretty interesting. In fact, there is so much that we can do without having to spend a dime. It's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. But this is probably one of the best things that we can do, because it is just so powerful. Now, keep in mind, you know, another question I get all the time. People have done the 10-day transformation. They say, well, what do I do now? You know, can I, is it okay? Am I never supposed to eat a cookie again? And I always say, no, it's fine to have a cookie once in a while. But the trick is, and I know this sounds funny, but this is really what it is. It's okay if you eat the cookie, but if the cookie eats you, that's not good. Now, what does that mean? That means that if you have a cookie and you are in control and you say, okay, I'm going to have one cookie, I'm not going to have any more, and this will be my cookie for the week or for the month, whatever you've set up for yourself, and you stick to it, then you are truly eating the cookie. But if you eat a cookie and you say, well, gosh, you know, it wasn't that big, I could have another cookie, the cookie just ate you. And that's what you want to put a stop to. That is not, that's not good for a number of reasons. The main reason it's not good is because you've given up control. Will having that second cookie cause you to, you know, gain 3 pounds? Probably not. But the point is, once you give up control to a substance, you're not free anymore. And freedom is what we want, because if we're free, we're happy. And if we are controlled or addicted to anything, we can't be happy. It's really that simple. And it should be brought out that one of the best systems for breaking addictions is doing controlled breathing. It's phenomenal. Like I said, the example I gave you for somebody who was depressed, it turned their life around. I know people that spend a lot of time worrying over this or that and the other thing. They do this for 5 minutes and mentally do the counting. The counting is crucial. Like when you're inhaling, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, because you've got to keep the mind occupied. So if you have a problem with either worrying or being depressed or being irritated or confused or whatever, you practice this rotational circular breathing and you count while you're inhaling, you count while you hold the breath, and you count while you exhale through the mouth. And you do that consciously for 12 or 15 times, and you will be amazed, I mean amazed, at how you feel when you're done. In fact, many people do not even remember what they were anxious about before they started. It's that amazing. So friends, it has been a joy to be with you. And I will be back live with you in 2 weeks, which will be November 27th. And I'm sure by this time all of you have remembered to turn your clocks back, because we are totally in regular time now. Of course, that does not apply to our friends in Hawaii, nor our friends in Arizona, nor our friends in Indiana. They're the lucky ones who don't have to go through this nonsense. But anyhow, it's always wonderful to be with you, and next time we will have another exciting subject, but I thought that you would really appreciate this one. And of course, as always, let me know what your interests are. Let me know what types of subjects you want talked about. I've had a couple of people ask about dentistry, which we will have as a subject one of these days. And so anything that comes up, please let me know, and the majority is what I talk about next. So take care, God bless, be well, be happy, and bye for now.